What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Kickback. Welcome back, Pod Edition. I am your host, Gavin Tony, joining alongside my co-host, Pat Sullivan. Pat, we got a good one for the people, but first off, how you doing, my guy?
I'm good, my guy. We had a little conversation earlier. You read my little thing for the class.
Yep. You know, hey, for those who don't know, Pat made an excellent piece for me. He read about me, basically like my on-campus life. For those who don't know, I highly suggest. I don't know if he's going to put on the quad or not, but if it does make it up there, that's something we're going to talk about. But it was pretty good. I was like, Dom, I got to say it to you.
If I get approval, sounds great. Party's a bit.
No, it really is good, though. Like, I like it. So for tonight, people, for what we have for you, we have the Phillies. We're going to talk Phillies. We're going to talk Sixers. Maybe a little bit around the league of baseball and basketball, rounding out with some of the NCAA. But first, the Phillies, Pat, they played today. They're off to a 5-1 start. They won today.
Yes, sir.
Tywin Walker looked okay, I guess. I mean,
he looked decent.
But let's talk about it. The other day, Jesus Luzardo took the mound. He had 11 Ks on 95 pitches in the first start, which is honestly a bounce back than what we saw from spring training, from him giving up 3 home runs back-to-back-to-back, and Rob Thompson had to answer for it on live television, which was kind of funny if you ask me.
Was that off speed? I believe that was off speed.
And then honestly, he felt like he had his groove, and in the second inning, coming back off the injury, he struggled with his velocity consistently through 3 fastballs that eclipsed upper 90s in the first 2 innings. But after that, this is up. So I would say that was not a bad performance from Jesus Luzardo. Then Caleb Cotton, Philly's pitching coach, is impressed with the mental side of his game. He's a clear thinker who knows who he is. And also, too, Pat, apparently he changed the grip on his cutter, and it's been the first time Luzardo has tweaked his arsenal. So just think about Jesus Luzardo. If you can get him, back or get him to on the trending on the right direction, it'll actually help this team out a lot.
He was good for the Marlins. I mean, we got him for pretty much nothing. So if you can get him back to Marlins form, I think that's pretty good for you.
And then for those who don't know, the Phillies did win today 3-1. Kyle Schwarber hit a home run. I'm not sure. I missed half the game. I was in school, but they won 3-1, so that was good to know. But let's just talk about the team a little bit more. Pat, Amundo Sosa and home opener, Amundo Sosa rewards Rob Thompson's trust. And the offense was with 3 late home runs. That's the opening day. That was opening day. So, I have a hunch. When you first bring Amundo Sosa, he was a guy that was supposed to be running the base path and was a better fielder than Boehm, because that's what they brought him for. The bat was so-so. Good pun. But, I don't know. If he can grow into something here, that would be kind of nice. Like, maybe not like a piece where you could use him. Maybe almost like a trade piece in a way. Like, what you think?
No, I don't see why you would in any world trade him.
How old is he?
I think he's a good guy to have off the bench. He always gets a hit for you. Me and my dad say it all the time. He's like the 08 Phillies had Greg Dobbs and Jeff Jenkins, who always came off the bench and got a big hit for you when they needed it. I think Edmundo Sosa can be that type of guy. He'll always come off the bench, get the boys fired up. He'll always go to double. He'll always go to 2, and he'll get up and pump his hands in the air, go like this across his chest. He gets the boys fired up. So I think he's a guy that you keep around.
I definitely like him. When you first got him, it was kind of rough at first. Like the bat was inconsistent, but then as you've seen in big moments, especially over like the first playoff run, he delivered when you need him the most. And I don't disagree with you. A talent like that, you just don't let walk out the door willy-nilly whenever. But let's just talk about the Phillies, as a whole. The offense has been dominant against relievers. They're batting .386 with 12 extra base hits and 57 at-bats against relievers. The stark contrast against starting pitchers is .224 average with 5 extra base hits and 85 at-bats. I would like to see that be a little more better for against starting pitchers. because
yeah,
you know, getting to relievers is sometimes you don't get to them, right? You know what I mean? And if you're struggling versus your starters, like I think back to the first game in Washington where we said, granted, Washington lost, but they still struck out 19 times. Like, I know Dom said it before, like, if you look at it, it's like, yeah, but like not as bad. But I look at that and I see the average between the two. It's like, what are we not seeing against the, and now granted, starters are starters, but like not everybody's a prolific starter. Not everybody's a Corbin Burns, not everybody's a Jacob DeGrom, not everybody's a, you know, a Shohei Ohtani. There's gonna be some subpar starters. And the fact that like the average is significantly different between the two is kind of slightly alarming. It's a little early in the year. I don't know, Pat. What do you think about that?
Yeah, they gotta figure out starters because you can't keep waiting until the fifth or sixth inning to get anything going. You're not going to win many baseball games, especially with this stretch against the Dodgers starting tomorrow. You need to get to their starters because if you don't, you're going to be in big trouble because they're undefeated and they will put their foot on your throat if they have a chance to. So you need to get to their starters. You can't wait until the fifth or sixth inning to get to their bullpen.
They put the hammer straight down on anybody, and they're no joke. And the Phillies can tend to be a slow start team. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a disgusting three-game series. The weather does not look nice. Saturday is going to be cold, 57 degrees. I think tomorrow. Does the series start tomorrow?
Yeah. I mean, you did the weather today. So
I did do the weather.
You should know this weather, man.
I should know this. But that's Westchester weather. It's Philly weather. It's something
too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless
you're Pat who made me read Philly weather.
No, listen, man. That's a mistake.
But having said all that, though, it's going to be a nasty series this weekend. It's rain, not so great weather. You're going to go against Yamamoto and a couple other great prolific guys. Yamamoto is a really good starting pitcher.
Yeah.
Who has some nasty stuff. And that offense of the Dodgers is not forgiving, especially Shohei Ohtani and company get a hold of one. But let's slow down for a second because Philly's bats aren't that bad either. Kyle Schwarber has a hot start. He's off to a 308 average with 4 home runs and 8 RBIs to start the year off. Any thoughts on Kyle Schwarber? Like that's alarming. That's alarming.
And it is. Especially because he usually waits till June to show up like this.
Maybe it's
a good sign that he's showing up like this right out of the gate. You know. He also got a lot skinnier.
He did.
But his hands are still just as fast, and he's just as powerful. So, you know, maybe he can add a few doubles to that mix.
Would it be wrong to say
he's 30, 35 home runs, maybe even 40, and then get at least 20 doubles maybe? That would be nice.
Would it be wrong to say he's the most important player on that Phillies off the batting? Not like overall, but like he makes the stuff work.
As of right now, yeah. Just because he's the top of your lineup guy against righties, and he's batting fourth against lefties right now. So, you know, the pitcher's got a game plan. If they're going to face him leadoff, they're going to face him with, you know, possibly runners on with him batting fourth. So I think he is an important piece for this offense. And probably the most important one so far, given that he's gotten, what, 4 home runs now?
Yeah.
5, whatever.
Hot start for a man that normally doesn't really wake up till June. And talking about another important person on the team, Trey Turner, who started out the year a little banged up, but Sosa and Rob Thompson are using this injury as a window for Mundo Sosa to get more bats and views him as an extremely important piece. I agree with that, just to kind of add on to earlier, but going back, just backtracking just a little bit to this weekend, the Phillies do face the Dodgers. They get Yamamoto, Sasaki, and Glasnow this weekend. So that's
nasty. You don't want to run into that,
especially those two back to back.
You don't want to run into any of their starters, but you know,
no, they don't. Luckily, you don't get Ohtani. Could you imagine it'll be those three down the road? So it'll be if the Phillies can at least steal a game from them, I'll be happy. I'll at least be happy.
I'm going to be honest. I think we take two of – is it a three-game series or four? It's a three-game.
Three. It's a three-game.
Yeah, so I I realistically think we could steal two of the three if we, you know, play well and get our asses in gear.
Speaking of asses in gear, I know that's a crazy alternate switch, but there's something I want to talk about real quick. So Alec Bohm debuted the new Hot Topic, the torpedo bat. For those who don't know, it's more like a thicker wood at the end of the bat. Just real quick, like the Yankees debuted it versus Milwaukee, and they hit 15 home runs against Milwaukee and 4 to 5 home runs against Nestor Cortez on Saturday, came off the torpedo bat. The exit velo on those bats runs was around 110, 10 miles above the league average. Giancarlo Stanton was one of the first players to use the bat in 2024, citing it as a bat adjustment for his elbow. Clayton Belcher, the bat is more balanced from end-to-end weight distribution. So, Pat, first off, what are your whole thoughts on the torpedo bat as a whole? I did see Alec Bohm having it. Me, personally, I mean, it's whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest.
Go ahead.
I think this is, the latest gimmick that's out there for these guys, and it's going to be a fad that will probably die out soon. I think CJ or Ryan on friends of the program, CJ and Ryan Tully, yeah, right? I think they mentioned on their program the other day that someone said it's more of a magician, not the wand type of situation, whereas the player is better, than the bat is making them.
So my biggest thing is that, and if you jump in if you would like to, for me, I look at the torpedo bat as like, okay, it's cool, but my biggest thing is you still got hand-eye coordination. The pitchers are still throwing 110. Is it really going to make the game different? Like, are we going to see – it'd be something if, like, the Yankees were blowing teams out every week. They hit a couple home runs, against the Diamondbacks, and the Diamondbacks came back to win. So my biggest thing is, like, does it give the other team an advantage? Sure, but you still have to hit the baseball.
Yeah, and that goes back to what I was saying. Like, it goes back to the player, not so much the bat. You know, the player still has to be able to hit it regardless. Like, all of the wood, I believe, is focused on the sweet spot part of the bat, whereas, a regular bat has even distribution from the middle to the top, whereas this is, like, it's all focused in the middle part where the batter is supposed to make the most contact. So I think it's more the player swinging it than it is that helping them.
I think, listen, I don't disagree with you. Real quick, Dom. For those who don't know, Dom is here just working to help me out in another way. Dom.
I'm like the producer now. Yeah. I'm the producer now.
I'm getting a little background help. But Dom, real quick, torpedo bats, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I to the point about, look, at the end of the day, it's not the end all be all solution. I think that you kind of look at this and what's helping the success of the torpedo bat is the guys using it. Who said that it's a fad though? It's something that's just going to go away.
Oh, I said it was the fad.
No.
They said it. They said it was like a magician, not the wand type of situation. I
think the fad is actually a really interesting point because I'll say this from having been in the industry, in the baseball industry briefly. I think that's a really interesting point, Pat. And I think there's definitely some credence to that because there are so many bat companies out there that, are playing with, new designs. I'm not a science guy. I'm not a physics guy, but they're playing with new designs. They're playing with different barrels and different grips and things of that nature all the time. And it's kind of hard for them to kind of launch their product. Now, I will say the guy who was the driver behind this bat is now on a major league coaching staff. So I think that's a really interesting point that you made there. I could definitely see it being a fad. to some degree. Yeah. But I also think, you know, it could be something that bat companies kind of take and run with. You know, Bellinger really likes it because it's got a better distribution from end to end. That's something that's really important as a hitter. Yeah. So what from the torpedo bat, you know, could some of these companies take and kind of run with? But I definitely think there's an interesting point there. I think there's
The reason I say it's a fad is because, like Gavin said, it became popular because the Yankees hit how many home runs with it? And then the next day, everyone wants one.
Absolutely.
Alec Bohm has one. He hasn't hit a homer yet. He's what? Gone maybe 4 for 10 with it or something like that. I'm not sure the exact numbers, but he hasn't been hitting well with it. I think once they realize that, you know, this isn't all it's cracked up to be, they're going to drop it and go back to their regular bat. But for now, this seems like the popular thing.
And just to round up baseball talk, and this is going to something we're going to keep, you know, watch out through the year. But I think you're right. It's who used it, what team used it, also too what ballpark were they into. But I'm not going to talk about all that. But real quick, guys, just to give a real quick standings of baseball before we move on. In the American League East, the Blue Jays lead 5-2 in the standings with 5 wins, 2 losses. The Rays are 4-2. The Yankees are 3-2. Torpedo Bats got them at 3-2. I don't know. The Red Sox are 3-4. The Orioles are 3-4. The Guardians are 2-4. The White Sox are 2-4. The Royals are 2-4. The Tigers are 2-4. And the Twins are 2-5 in the American League Central. In the American League West, the Rangers are 5-2. The Angels are 4-2. The Mariners are 3-4. The Astros are 3-4. And the Athletics are 2-5. Going to the National League real quick. The almost the Eagles. That's crazy. The Phillies are 5-1. The Marlins are 4-3. Washington is 3-3. The Mets are 3-3. Washington is 1-5. And the Atlanta Braves are 0-7. That's something to keep a watch out. They're not fully at strength. There's still no Ronald Acuna Jr. yet. So I don't know. And they did lose Max Fried in the free agency.
And they lost Profar to drugs.
They lost Profar
to the steroids.
The PEDs. The NL Central. The Cardinals are 4-2. The Cubs are 5-4. The Reds are 2-4. The Brewers are 2-4. The Pirates are 2-5. Paul Skenes got to be better out there, man. Even though he's having a great year already. Sorry, I don't know why I said that. But the Dodgers are 8-0. The Padres are 7-0. The Giants are 5-1. The Diamondbacks are 4-2. And the Rockies are 1-5. The NL West, as always, starting out with fire. I wouldn't go out to say the Braves are dumb. We're going to monitor that situation slowly. Talk about another situation that needs to be monitored slowly. The Sixers announced today that Tyrese Maxey is shut down with finger tendonitis. And also, too, Joel Embiid is undergoing surgery on his left knee. I have one problem with this, Pat, is the fact that why the hell is Joel Embiid now getting the surgery?
He hasn't Why'd you wait?
What is the – like, was he fighting? Go ahead.
So that's the funny thing. It always seems that, you know, Philadelphia more specifically, you know, because we watch these teams and we root for these teams, it seems like we have a situation where every team, if a player is hurt and they need to get a surgery, they'll push it off for months. And then you finally hear they got the surgery, and we're like, why didn't you do this shit 3 months ago
when you found out about it?
Yeah.
It's like if you guys remember the last dance, so Scottie Pippen said, I didn't want to ruin my summer. So he got the surgery at the end of the summer and damn near missed half the season and left Mike out there. I'm not going to disrespect Dennis Rodman. I'm a big Dennis Rodman fan. But kind of left them with just Dennis Rodman and company. Not saying they're bad people. I mean, they're all Hall of Fame. But, like, this is, like I'm saying, and for Joel Embiid to do that, like, dude, you don't recover fast enough. That's the problem I have. But to keep it going on, with a little more positive news with the Sixers. They do play tonight, by the way, versus Milwaukee
Bucks. They're on right now.
They're on right now. You can go for $2 if you want. You know what I mean? You can go for less than a bag of chips.
Quentin Grimes is a dog. He's the only one.
I had less than my meal at the Phillies game today.
How much was that, Don? How much was that?
Like $20. I just got a hot dog and some Cracker Jacks and a bottle of water.
You can really go to the go to season game for less than Don's meal today.
No, you really can though. Like I'm not even exaggerating.
I know, but that's the crazy thing to say. But Pat, to your Quentin Grimes point, the team is looking to keep Quentin Grimes. Quentin Grimes in the 20 games as a Sixers was almost Eastern Conference Player of the Month. He averaged 22 points per game with 5.1 rebounds per game, 4.3 assists per game, 1.5 steals per game, shooting 50% from the floor and almost 40% from three. Damn. Keep him. Might as well. That's the only bright spot we have. Look, Pat, in the 9-game span in March, Quentin Grimes recorded a 44-point game on 75% shooting and a 46-point game with 13 rebounds with an eight threes against Golden State. Over that 9-game stretch, hold on, Pat. Over that 9-game stretch, Grimes has recorded more 40-point games as a Sixer than Paul George, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, and that insult to injury, Ben Simmons. but here's my thing, right?
Well, how many 40-point games did Ben have? I don't think he had that many, did he? Because he couldn't shoot.
I don't believe so. But here's the sad part, right? If you look at Jimmy Butler on this list, he wasn't like this. He was like a voice, like I think he was like the leader, but he wasn't the star.
Yeah,
so he wasn't going. Yeah,
Ben Simmons had one 40-point game. Does anybody remember when it was?
It was in use of the Jazz, wasn't it?
Yes, February 16th, 2021.
And there was no Joel Embiid.
Correct.
That's why.
He had 42 with 9 boards, 12 assists, and he was 15 to 26 from the field and 12 of 13 on free throws. And that was the year that both Philly and Utah were one seeds.
Hey Dom, guess in what? You want to know something crazy? If you type up Ben Simmons highlights, that's the only play he has. That's the only – his whole highlight tape says straight game.
You want to know any crazier stats somebody sent me?
Go for it.
In the last 2 years, Ben Simmons has played more games than Joel Embiid.
Oh.
I legitimately didn't believe that.
Oh, that's brutal.
It's a legitimate statistic, though.
That's brutal because he barely played for Brooklyn.
He played 61 games in his last 2 years. Joel Embiid has played 58.
So.
I did not even believe that, but it's actually a true statistic. Shout out Basketball Forever on Instagram. It's a true statistic.
And here's the crazy part. I don't think Paul George had that many 30-point games here this year than he did last year either.
He didn't. Mr. Podcast P didn't do shit.
No, he didn't. He didn't do a damn thing. But let me ask you this question, Pat and Dom, if you like to, you can. Someone asked me, right, and real quick, because there's more pressing news in basketball than this garbage-ass team. Real quick, someone asked me, would you package a sixth pick and Paul George to try to move up to one? I'm going no, because who the hell wants Paul George?
Yeah, you got a good point there.
That's the hard part.
Yeah.
That's the hard part. But moving on to more relevant news in the NBA, shout out to my guy Carmelo Anthony. He is going to the Hall of Fame, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, Anthony, he's going to the Hall of Fame. The 10-time All-Star. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, three to the dome. The 10-time All-Star build-up was a legend over the 19-year career, most notably with the Nuggets and the Knicks, where he led the league in scoring in 2013. I will say, though, New York Mello was a different guy. I'm going to be honest.
He was a different animal there.
He was nuts. He wanted to be there. It was nice. I think that's when basketball was my favorite. He earned 3 gold medals over his career and 1 bronze with Team USA. Named to the NBA 75 anniversary team in 2021, stands out amongst star-studded list of finalists for the honors that includes Dwight Howard, Sue Bird, Maya Moore, UConn legend, 2 UConn legends, apologies, and the 2008 U.S. men's national team. So, congratulations to Carmelo Anthony. I'm happy for him. I really am. I'm a big Melo guy. I know some people. I do agree. There was a text in the chat that we had that Melo should retire earlier. I do think that Portland Trailblazers thing should never happen.
Yeah.
I don't think it should never happen. I think it should have been. I didn't like how And I'm a Melo guy, and I didn't like how we kind of went on a national news tour for why the hell he's not on the team. I mean, does anyone remember that First Take interview he had? I was going on a Virginia beach when they were talking about it. I didn't like it. It made Melo look really weak. It made him look weak as hell. But yeah. With that being said, though, Pat, my boy's going to Hall of Fame. How are we feeling?
I mean, you got to feel pretty good if you're Melo. You know, you didn't win the ring, but you still got in the Hall of Fame. So that's pretty big. It begs the question, though, for Denver, right? You got number 15 to retire at some point, whether it's Carmelo or Jokic. Who do you retire?
I'm gonna go with Jokic on that one. I'm gonna go with. See, if you want number 15 as a whole, I'm gonna go Jokic. But I think New York should personally retire. I think New York should retire 15 for Melo, and
he didn't wear 15 in New York.
Oh, seven. Yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you. Seven should be retired in New York, and 15 should be retired for Jokic, respectively, just because he won 3 MVPs in the championship. That's it. Any pushback, anybody?
No.
You keep it. How about – go ahead. Anybody?
Just because, you know, I saw it earlier, so that's why I brought this up, because it's like, who do you retire, Melo or – Jokic, and my thought immediately went to, didn't Melo have like a falling out with the front office, and that's why he got he got kicked out of there.
Yep,
because I think he put it out like when you cut the grass, the snakes reveal themselves or something like that, something stupid like that. So like he didn't end on good terms there.
I just think too, like when you think of Melo, I think of orange and blue skies. I really do.
Yeah.
I generally do. Like my favorite Melo version was number 7 Melo, New York Nick Melo. You know, him at the Garden, those crazy moments with him and Tyson Chandler and Roman Felton and company, and then J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert and that team. Yo, basketball was fun back then, y'all. That team, that like granted, like that team never really won anything, but yo, like I'm happy for the Knicks. I'm not even a Knicks fan. I'm happy for him. But to keep it in the basketball realm, speaking of Jokic, Pat, Jokic and Steph had big nights. Jokic had a 61-point triple-dub, crazy, but still lost to Minnesota, 140 to 139. Russell Westbrook blows the layup at the end and fouls the shooter for Minnesota. Steph Curry with the pop, boy. 52 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 steals, 12 three-pointers made. He almost went for the record versus Memphis as they win 134 to 125. Real quick, I just want to announce that Jimmy Butler move to Golden State, that paid dividends for him. That was something needed. That was nice. He contributes really well to the team. Very contrary. But on the losing side of Memphis, it's been a hell of a week for them, starting with, let's go to Taylor Jenkins gets fired. The interim head coach now. I wonder who they're going to get into that interim coach. I don't know who the next guy is going to be, because that is a tough job. And it's not even so much a tough job because of the players. Like, they have talent down there. But what makes it a tough job is right here. Ja Morant is under investigation again, ladies and gentlemen. And the crazy thing is, for gun signals. Yeah. I don't understand, and I'm a Ja Morant fan. I had to calm my fandom just a little bit. For those who don't know, you can't do a gun signal no more. You can't do that. No, okay, if you do, it's got to be what? Is it three fingers, guys? I think it's like three fingers.
Did they specify?
I think if you do three, I think three is safe. Two is the red. Well, anyway, Gilbert Arenas got in trouble for the same thing. He only brought a gun to the locker room.
Gilbert Arenas also threatened his teammate. So,
but my point, you know, is, the more the point I'm trying to bring up here is, the reason I bring up Gilbert Arenas is you saw how it didn't work for him when guns got involved. Yeah. I don't understand why. And you're considering, like, you have a recent track record of this shit. Like, it's not new. People did not forget you're at a club in after Denver, and you're over there flashing gun, and then you're doing dumb shit in the car. Let me tell you, my mom told me a long time ago, never, ever, ever. And I just learned, and I want to give a major shout out to the speaker, Ryan Lee. We got the chance to talk to him. Cool guy. Ryan Lee Media on Instagram if anyone wants to follow. He showed us that employers look and really monitor social media. And you don't think they don't do that shit for like NBA players and status people? You can't have dumb shit like that no more. Like, you gotta be smarter than that. You gotta be smarter than that. For those who don't talk about, the second instance was he was just listening to music with his friend, NBA Youngboy. Great song he was listening to, by the way. And his friend flashed the gun. Now, Ja quickly put it down, but also, too, guys, you guys heard this expression. You can't hang around the same friends no more when you get, you know what I mean? When you're in a different light, you can't hang around the same friends no more. That shit just doesn't fly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, listen, I'm a Ja Morant fan. Best of luck to the brother. But you know what the crazy thing is? In the mix of all this shit, the Memphis is currently seeded fifth in the West. So they're potentially going to the playoffs with a week left in the season. The GM, Zach Kleiman, has offered little charity insiders state that a large part of the issue this year was Jenkins' inability to install a new offense this year. The Athletic, Ja Morant was also not happy from The Athletic. And also, too, Ja Morant was not happy about taking on a role where he had to play off the ball, stating that he didn't like the ball was being taken out of his hands. I mean, if you're that's a star player, it's cool, but like then again, you're not really doing anything helpful. You're hurting your team, and also too, you miss a lot of games as well. So the man had no choice but to take the ball out your hands. If you're not there, you gotta experiment with somebody. They have a nice team down there. And then, like I said, he's under investigation for gun gesture. Did not address this at all post game. He did get suspended for a good period of time in 2023 for the incident. And the NBA has a history of fining players for these type of gestures. Josh Jackson, former Suns forward, was fined $35,000 in 2017. Gerald Green was fined $25,000 in 2015 with Miami for a similar incident. Pat, that's a lot of money for just a simple gesture. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do. I'm not a big fan of it. I'm not a big fan of guns in general. This ain't one of those shows. We talk straight sports here. But we're seeing the same thing in the NFL. Like, the NFL is also banning things like the nose wipe celebration and some celebrations. So, like, I understand, like, why guys do it, because it's like you're trying to be, like, what's the word? Like savvy, like, jerky with your celebration, whatever you want to use. But be smart. You lose some money. Stupid ass celebration. Let's be smart here. Pat, well, any thoughts? You know, like,
yeah, you just can't be doing it. Like you said, you got to let some of your friends go, some of your old friends go once you like make it big, just because those tendencies will come up again. They'll be like, oh, you're hanging around the wrong people. It's kind of like a DeSean Jackson situation when Chip Kelly was coach here. A video surfaced the DeSean Jackson with his friends who were throwing up gang signs, right? Chip saw that and was like, oh, we need to get rid of this guy. But in reality, I don't think DeSean did anything. I think it was more his friends that did the stuff.
Friends.
Yeah, so like, sometimes you just got to cut them off once you make it big, because it's like, you know, you just can't have those incidents.
You really can't. And also, to this day, like, not everybody can go. Don't let, like, yo, you're letting outsiders fuck your bag up for what? Because of what? Their mentalities and everything. And you're coming, and guys, like, I have a lot of group of friends, a lot of group of people. I'm not saying they're all bad people. Like, I mean, like, Pat, you know, you know some of my friends. You met some of my friends. Dom, you know, you met some of my friends. But at some point, you can't have it. You generally can't fucking have it no more.
But, and like, I get you want to take care of your friends, you know,
And you can do that. You can
still do that. It's just, you know, you either got to pull them aside and be like, yo, we gotta chill out on this stuff. Or if you don't, I got to cut you off. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. You're not going to mess up my career for me. And it's just, you know, Josh should know this by now, because he's already got caught for this.
Yeah, but
he just can't figure it out.
But also, too, like, stupidity. Like, genuinely stupid. You want to jump in here, man?
Let him in. Okay.
No. Listen, like I'll say, you know, I'll just say this. You know, yeah, it's dumb, you know, and you know, listen, I got a lot of respect for Ja Morant the player, but you know, when you get into these, you know, when you get in, what's the old saying from Spider-Man with Uncle Ben? With great power comes great responsibility.
Facts.
And you know, when you're in Ja Morant's shoes, you also have a responsibility to you know, set the example for the next generation of players. You know, I my old life in basketball, I was on two of the three sneaker circuits, and the amount of times I've seen that, you know, that celebration, if I had a penny for every time, I'm pretty sure I could pay off a lot of people's student debts. But you know, it's something you just can't do it. You know, I think that's the bottom line here.
And it's just dumb. It's really dumb. It's dumb. It's stupid. Like, I never understood that whatsoever, like, that aspect of just messing your own bag up. Like, I don't know. I guess it's because, I'm a person that, like, is hungry for money and wants to, you know, be successful in life and take a thing. I couldn't have them having people around me to do shit like that. And if you do have people like that, that's people you keep on the side, on the down low, and they stay far away from you. Cause like back to the Ja Morant incident a couple years ago, there was a report where his crew was threatening opposing teams. Like, what are we doing? That shit would not fly if that was a regular person. Like, oh, like we seen things, and I never seen a superstar that never understood. Like, bro, you got dropped from your shoe deal because of your friends. There's some companies don't fuck with you because of your friends. That's a lot of money.
And there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money.
And what I learned this past week in class was like, oh, like, brand matters. Personal brand matters. And companies are always watching.
They are. They absolutely are.
Watching, they're always fucking watching. And the moment they, like, look at Paul Pierce. I know we joke about Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce, that live came out with Paul Pierce, you know, that infamous live, if you guys know what I'm talking about, and he got dropped from ESPN like a couple of days afterwards. Be smarter with your money, y'all. But as the program starts to wrap up, I just want to say real quickly, you can catch me and Pat every Friday on 91.7 WCUR, and tomorrow, which the pod comes out after the show, but tomorrow, as of now, friend of the program, CJ, will be in studio with us, along as the original friend of the program, Lily, will be there. Gotta get him in the pod one day. Gotta get him on this. But I just want to say, make sure you guys check us out on there. And also, too, rate us a 5-star on Apple Podcasts while you like it. As we move into the final portion of the show, the NCAA tournament is now down to the final four. Men's and women's, the table is set. Also, too, I want to give a major shout out to Juju Watkins, as she won National AP Player of the Year, the Naismith Women's College Player of the Year Award. I want to give a shout out to UCLA's Lauren Betts, named 2025 WBCA Division I Defensive Player of the Year Award. Also, too, shout out to the coach. I'm trying to find the coach's name for that. If someone can get the coach's name for that. But she led the program. It's right here. She led the program. Chloe Close won the coach of the year, leading her program to a national, the Final Four for the first time in program history. And Paige Buckets wins the Wade Trophy, headlines of 2025 WBCA and NCAA Division I Trophy winner. So shout out to all the women killing the game over there. But let's talk about it, because it's not over yet. The Final Four for the men's side, guys. Dom, let me get you up in here as well. For the first time since 2008, we're all four number one seeds are in the Final Four. So shout out to them. They all made.
Does anybody remember that Final Four?
Who was that Final Four?
Oh, man. Well, all right. So you had Memphis with Derrick Rose.
Yep.
You had Kansas with Mario Chalmers.
Mario Chalmers really like that back.
Mario Chalmers had Mario. Let me tell you something. Mario Chalmers to me is one of the more underrated basketball players in this generation.
I agree.
From his time as a high school standout in Alaska, mind you, to Kansas, to then his time with Miami Heat. I loved watching Mario Chalmers. You had UCLA with Kevin Love. Real and quick. Then you had UNC with you had a UNC team where a lot of guys ended up going on to have pro careers, but the real star of that team was Tyler Hansborough, who to me is a top 10 college player of all time.
I remember Tyler.
He was more of like an enforcer and a bruiser in the NBA and like that brought that tough guy presence to those Pacers teams. But he was a hell of a ball player in college, went to back-to-back Final Fours, bowed out to Kansas. And then that next year they beat Michigan State in the title game. That was an incredible Final Four. Memphis in the final.
I will say to your point about
Mario Chalmers. Kansas won in overtime. That was a great tournament.
To your point about Mario Chalmers makes you think back to like players who had like great careers but don't get the recognition. Jeff Teague's another one of them. Jeff Teague is one of my favorite
players. I think Jeff Teague kind of gets his just due. Just because of the team. To me, I think Mario Chalmers, he gets lost on those Miami Heat teams because of who he's with.
That's fair.
I agree with you that I think that Jeff Teague is in the same breath, but I think he also gets a little more recognition because he was a really, really good point guard on a team on teams with really good role players. Whereas Mario Chalmers was a point guard on a team with stars.
I mean, to your point, Jeff Teague played with Josh Smith, Al Horford, and Jamal Crawford in Atlanta with Kyle Korver.
And those were great teams.
That was a damn great team.
Hawks. I mean, they were one of the better offensive teams I've seen in my life so far. I loved watching those guys.
So when you said Mario Chalmers, that made me think of that. My fault. But I want to say this is going to be this is going to be a damn good Final Four. Auburn and Florida. The line is Florida -2.5. The spread. Hey guys, for those who don't know, I'm a big better. If you want to know who I'm taking, I'm taking Florida. Ooh, actually, no, I'm lying. I meant to think about that one. Think about that one a little bit. I'm gonna come back to that one. But players to watch. Joni Broome. Hope I said that right. Forward from Auburn, Walter Clayton Jr., the guard from Florida, and some little interesting storylines. The students versus teachers, Todd Golden, the Florida versus Bruce Pearl, Auburn. Golden was an assistant for Pearl from 2014-2016. So a little rivalry right here. So, guys, before we get into the next game, I want to talk about it. First of all, who you guys taking and I may have to take Auburn. See, for those who don't know, I'm one of those bettors where like I really would bet both sides just so I don't lose. So I don't care. So Dom, I'll start with you. Auburn, Florida, 2.5. Who we taking?
Yeah, so I just want to be clear, as you guys know, I haven't had much of a chance to watch this tournament, but I love, all year I've liked this Auburn team. When you can switch 1 through 5 like they can, makes it a lot easier to contest shots, makes it a lot easier to defend the good ball movement and dribble penetration that Florida has. They're the most experienced team in the country. Bruce Pearl, did a hell of a job in the summer with the transfer portal. I just think this is his year. He's 65. He's had Bruce Pearl's a Hall of Famer. I know a lot of people because of past investigations and stuff may hold that against him. I personally don't, considering where
you separate the coach and the player, the person, the player. I'm with
him. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Bruce Pearl got in trouble for what is now NIL. So I don't think that should be held against him. I don't think that will be held against him. That the further this NIL stuff goes, but you never know. I'm going to take Auburn here. I just looked at this team; they're very experienced. They're switchable. They're great defensively. They can pressure you. And when you know, that's key for playing a great guard like a Walter Clayton. I like Auburn, but it's going to be a close one.
Pat, I know college basketball is not your favorite, but you taking Auburn or you taking Florida? You going with the Gators?
Yeah, like you said, I don't pay much attention to college sports as much as I should. I haven't really been watching the tournament at all, so I don't know what teams are good and what teams aren't. But I'm going to go Auburn here. I'm going to go for the upset because Florida's favorite, so I'm going to go Auburn.
You know what? I'm going to rock with Auburn as well because my bracket says so, and my money will probably go with them as well. I'm going to be honest. Like, I don't got no other choice. The next one, I'm excited for this one more than the other one. I'm going to be honest with you just a little bit. Duke versus Houston, the line is -4.5. The spread is 4.5. Players to watch, obviously the number one pick if he goes. Cooper Flagg, the forward from Duke. Marlos Yuzan, that's it right? Hopefully. That's it right? Yeah, cool. Point guard from Houston, and an interesting storyline. Can Duke continue to outclass everyone as they've been doing and finish the job? Also, too, I would say, because I am, I guess you could say a part Duke, I guess. My cousin went to Duke, played football for there. For me, I'll be honest, I would love to see Schreyer get a win and actually break away from being Coach K, the Coach K shadow, which is hard because Coach K is a legend. Before I give my pick, Dom, Duke, Houston, what's up with it?
Listen, I got a lot of respect. I got a lot of respect for what Kelvin Sampson's done at Houston. Year in and year out, they're one of the grittiest teams in the country. They're one of the best teams in the country defensively. They can be, you know, they find a way to win games even as the lesser talented team. However, I just think this Duke team is too strong, and I think they outclass Houston at the end of the day. So Kelvin Sampson's going to have to go another year without a national championship. To your point about Coach Shire, you know. And it's funny, I was talking about this with some people in the car ride home from the Phillies game. Does anybody remember John Shire, the player?
I think I slightly.
So the 2010 Duke National Championship team, you had Jay Billis called them the three S's. There was John Shire was the point guard. His backcourt mate, Smith was his last name. I'm blanking on the first name. And then you had Kyle Singler, who was their small forward and a probably the most intricate piece of that team. John Shire, his skill set as a point guard, it doesn't surprise me that he's having success as a coach. I know people look at it as, well, you know, look, it's Duke. You know, you have all the resources and you're set up to win there. However, you know, you still got to get guys to buy in. And I think, you know, when you have the stars that this Duke team has, when you have a guy like a Cooper Flagg, there is a challenge to that. And John Shire's done a masterful job of that. But I think this Duke team just has too much at the end of the day for Houston.
So you're rocking with Duke?
I'm rocking with Duke and the capture the flag. People get to see him in a Blue Devil jersey one last time on Monday night.
So okay. So you answered my second question for me, Pat. Houston, Duke, I know college basketball was not your go-to, but give me one. What you got, mommy?
I can never root for Duke. I just, for some reason, hate Duke. So give me Houston.
Homer Pet, everybody. Homer Pet.
I have no connection to Houston, Texas whatsoever. I feel like you do slightly.
He has a Houston, Texas shirt on as we speak. Hey, Dom, I'm rocking with the Blue Devils. Cooper's leg is exciting to watch this year. He really has. This team, the way they play well, and especially when he went down the ACC tournament, they found a way to win. Let me say it again. They found a way to win, and there was a lot of tough teams in the ACC tournament. That's hard when your star player goes down the way how he went down, and then for him to recover like he did and almost like he didn't miss a beat. This Duke team is disgusting. I'm rocking with Duke Blue Devils. Give me your national championship winners.
Yeah, so I'll take Duke over Auburn on Monday night. If that is the game, I'll be rooting for Auburn. Like I said, you know, I've always been a fan of Coach Pearl. And you know, look, I'll, you know, if there's one thing that this college basketball season has shown this year, The SEC was clearly the best conference, and the SEC continues to establish themselves as the foremost brand in college athletics. That it makes a big difference when you have football money behind you. And I think, Auburn has had success prior to all this NIL stuff. They got to a Final Four in 2019, but the SEC to me was the best. I think when we think about college conferences for football, everybody thinks about the SEC and the Big Ten. For basketball, historically, everybody's thought about the ACC and the old Big East, which now is partially deposited into the ACC. But the SEC, I mean, what a year for them. You have two teams in the Final Four in Florida and Auburn that have to square off against each other. And you had what, an additional
13, 14?
You had an additional, three or four in the Elite Eight, because Alabama was in the Elite Eight. And then I'm probably blanking on one or two more. But, man, it has been fun to see the SEC become a true basketball conference this year. So it's going to be it would be really nice to see Auburn win this one, but I just think Duke has too much firepower behind them and finishes the job. But don't be surprised if Auburn pulls this off.
To answer your question about the league, I know they had like 13, 14 teams in the tournament as a whole. And I'm pulling up my bracket right here. Guys, this is busted. I don't even like looking at this thing anymore. It was Tennessee that was in the Elite Eight as well.
Okay, yeah. So
Tennessee was there.
Shout out to the SEC for keeping up with the curve.
And then before that, they had the Ole Miss was in the Sweet 16.
Yep.
And
did a hell of a job this year.
And Kentucky was in the Sweet 16, and Tennessee beat them. So.
Look at the schools you just named. Other than Kentucky, those are all
football schools.
You know, Tennessee's had some success in men's hoops. Bruce Pearl was actually there before Rick Barnes. He was two coaches before Rick Barnes. But those are all traditionally football schools.
Especially Alabama. Other than Kentucky. Especially Alabama. They came a long way. Give them man some credit. Pat, pick a winner, buddy. Out of these four.
All right, I have Auburn and who is it? Houston in the national championship. I'm going to go Houston. They're going to win their first national championship for basketball.
Homer Sullivan, everybody.
That's actually a really good. So if those two match up, that's actually a really good pick, because Auburn is a great 3-point shooting team, and they rely heavily on playing inside out. Houston is one of the best low post defense teams in the country. That's kind of Calvin Sampson's calling card as a coach, and they're one of the better closeout teams in the country. So if that matchup happens, I like that idea.
And I'm going with let me rephrase. The Duke person in me wants the Duke win. My bracket says I want Auburn to win. I'm rocking with the Blue Devils. I'm okay with Auburn winning as well. To the women's Final Four. Oh, it was a heartbreaker in the Elite Eight. If you're LSU, you missed out. It was a good game, though. The Final Four is set. Texas and South Carolina will face off. Hey, Dom, guess what? Texas beat South Carolina earlier in the year. Dawn Staley had a loss, and it was to them. The line is 4.5 South Carolina. I like Dawn Staley. I like everything. Tahina Pow, Raven Johnson. Here's a fun fact for you guys. Here's a fun storyline. Bree Hall, Sanaya Fagan, and Raven Johnson in all 4 years have been to a Final Four, and they won 3 of the 4 championships. And the first one lost was their first year. How about that? So
Dawn finds a way, man.
Dawn finds a way. Dawn has a nice team there. She has a nice team coming up. Texas is nice. I don't know.
Shout out Vic Schaefer.
I like them too. I like both these squads.
Shout out to Vic, man.
Oh, this hurts because I like both these teams. I like Roy Harmon, the point guard. Listen, a remarkable ACL recovery story. Give me South Carolina, though. Give me South Carolina, Dom. South Carolina, Texas.
I like South Carolina. Gavin, I have a lot of friends who know Dawn personally. I'll always root for Dawn as long as
she's in the
game. You know, she's an incredible person. She's a giver. She is a heck of a basketball coach. She's going to get this one done. I'm going South Carolina over Texas.
Bet Texas, South Carolina. I know basketball, college basketball ain't your thing, but throw one out there for a good brother, please.
I mean, you got to go with the Philly girl, Dawn Staley, and the South Carolina Gamecocks. That's who I'm taking.
And by the way, I just want to say this. When people say, like, you know, true Philly, this, this, and that, Dawn is all about that. Dawn is North Philadelphia, born and raised. She's not from the suburbs, not the main line, not Jersey. Dawn is from Philadelphia, and she never
lets you know about it, too. She ain't afraid to say it.
She will. She absolutely
will. She makes the city proud. And I'm glad as of recently they start getting a little more recognition than before, because she's been winning.
Personally, I'd like to see Dawn be an NBA head coach someday.
I thought she was going to get the Portland job. I thought she was going to get the Portland job.
She deserves an NBA head coaching job.
She does.
I mean, shit. Come coach the Sixers, please.
You don't want to. I don't want her to have this job to start off with.
Yeah.
I don't want her to have this job to start off with.
I feel like the fans would tear her apart for no reason.
No, they wouldn't. I mean, she would know how to manage the city because she's from the city, but I thought this is not a good job to start with.
Yeah.
It's not a good job. I would like her to have a fighting chance. Her and Becky Hammon would have been great damn coaches. I mean, Becky Hammon won. Anyway, getting off topic. WNBA season coming around soon. I do want to say, before I read the last game, because this is notable, Paige Buckets has announced that she's going to the WNBA draft. Olivia Miles is not going to the WNBA draft. She is going to the transfer portal, so I can't wait to see where that goes. We'll cover that on the next episode. Flauzie Johnson, Big Four of LSU, is not going to the draft. She is going to go back for LSU for her senior year. And I think Anisha Morrow is heading to the draft, or I think we're still waiting for that. So all that goodness coming up next episode. But let's talk about it. My girls, UConn, Huskies, women basketball, greatest dynasty, Gino Auriemma, right? There's Pat, you think of Pat Summitt, you think of Dawn Staley, you think of Gino Auriemma, and I'm not listening because I know this is all out of order. You think Tara Vanderbilt, and there's so many others. This is a good one. I'm actually scared. UConn, UCLA, the line is 8.5, but the Bruins, they got the coach of the year, defensive player of the year. Kiki Rice is a phenomenal guard. Lauren Betts is a great defensive player that can shoot the basketball. But Paige Buckets has been on the tear. She dropped 34, and I think she also had 40 in another game. She's doing what Gino wants her to do, which is just score. She also just passed Nafisa Kahn from most points in the list of most points all time. She's not number one, but she's passed Nafisa Kahn for most points all time as a UConn Huskies guard or player. AZ Fudd, she says she's coming back to stores for another year. I'm happy about it. I'm a homer. Hey, Dom, I'm homer. Call me Pat. I'm taking UConn. Call me Pat. I'm taking UConn. Dom, this is a good game. Who you got with this one?
Well, Gino Auriemma is also from the area, pride of Norristown. Westchester University alum, by the way. I don't know if anybody knew that.
Westchester, really?
Gino went to Westchester.
I'm Googling this.
Gino went to Westchester. Wow. Just like Dawn, you can't pick against Gino, man. Can't pick against Gino. Can't pick against Paige Buckets. I'll go UConn here.
Oh shit! It really does say Westchester University on there. I didn't know.
Yeah, you want to know? I mean, you know, this university does so much to promote alumni to begin with. So I mean, it's kind of sad that we don't know. But
yeah,
one of the damn greatest college basketball coaches went to my great institution that I also love dearly. But Pat, my girls, the Huskies, yeah. UCLA Bruins, who are you rocking with?
I got to go UConn. It's hard to pick against Paige. I think she's finally going to get there, and I'm going to be honest. I think she wins it.
So you're going with UConn. Okay, well, that leads me to my next question. If it's a UConn and South Carolina rematch of a couple, I think it's 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Ooh, you're going with UConn, Pat?
I'm going with UConn.
Go ahead, Don.
I'm going with UConn.
They did beat South Carolina this year. I love Dawn Staley. I'm a homer. I'm biased. Like I said, call me Pat. Gotta get down the t-shirt. Call me Pat. But I'll pick in the Huskies, baby. We're going to go all the way to the Natty. If Dawn Staley makes and they win, I'll be happy for her, too. It's not a lose-lose for me in college, women's college basketball. I enjoy watching the sport. It's a great product. If only we could find WME games, it's much easier to watch. I genuinely enjoy watching that, too, but they're hard to find. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all I got for y'all today. Anything else? Anybody around the sports world you guys seen? Anything? Anything? No? Damo, you're a no? Pat?
I mean, you know, we can touch on it real quick. Alex Ovechkin is 3 goals away from breaking Gretzky's all-time goal record.
Will he get it? How many games for him?
I want to say about a week or two left before the playoffs, something like that. So, but, you know, this is a record that not many people thought would fall, like, ever.
Is it in the season or is it just in a career?
In a career.
So is he retiring?
But they only do regular season, and then the playoffs is completely different.
I like that. I agree with that. But
yeah.
Is this his last year? Like, is this it? Is he retiring?
I'm going to be honest. I don't think he will. I think he hangs on for maybe one or two more just because he's still producing at an elite level at however old he is. I think 40, 41, something like that. He's played 20 seasons. He's the LeBron of hockey right now.
Alexander Ovechkin is 39 years old, so yeah.
Oh, he's 39. Okay. So he'll be 40 sometime before the next season.
Born September 17th.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he will be 40 going into the next season.
Yeah.
I like Ovi. I'm down with it.
And he's just, you know, as a Flyers fan, you're supposed to hate your rivals. Like, I despise Sidney Crosby. I've hated that dude forever. But I just can't hate Ovechkin. For whatever reason, I can't hate him. He's a damn good player.
Dumb. Ovi close to Wayne Gretzky's legendary record. Maybe get
something. I loved watching Ovi as a little kid when I watched hockey on a more frequent basis. I loved watching him and Mike Green on those Capitals teams.
That's when he had the tin advisor and the yellow skate laces.
But no, I'm all team Ovi here.
I like Ovi. I'm not a hater of Ovechkin whatsoever. Even though my favorite player right now is probably going to be Connor McDavid, because I don't know much about hockey, so I'm just going to sound like a homer, or like a casual, I guess. Yeah. But Ovi, you got the support of the program. Let's get it done.
It's just crazy that, you know, our generation is seeing two what was thought to be unbreakable records fall.
Yeah.
Like LeBron broke Kareem's all-time scoring record. No one thought that was going to be touched. And now Ovi's on the doorstep of breaking Gretzky's all-time goal record.
Yep.
Like, that's just crazy. We are witnessing history.
And if he gets, I'll be happy for him. I'll be hella happy for him.
Damn right.
Well, with that being said, that will conclude episode 5 of the Kickback Pod. We thank you for listening. Thank you guys for spending an hour with us, listening to us on this fine podcast. Rate us a 5-star Apple Pod, as always. It will be much appreciated. Make sure you tune in to listen to me and Pet every Friday for how many shows we got left? Like five more, right, Pet? Five, four more.
Something like that.
I will be in the booth this Saturday for Women's Rams Softball, so I cannot.
Is that going to be live, by the way?
I don't think so. No, I think that's like recorded.
No, I've heard from sources. That it is taped onto an SD card and then uploaded later. And then distributed later.
Dang, because I'm going to the baseball game Saturday. So I wanted to have you and I wanted to have you guys in my ear as I'm watching baseball.
Hey. Well, maybe the following weekend when it's me and this guy up in the booth for his last go. Maybe we can get one live. Maybe I'll go Instagram live one for the one time or something.
Yes, sir.
It'd be a nice one. But like I said, guys, thank you guys for watching. Like I always say, every radio show, 12 to 2, catch us there on every Friday for the next couple more weeks. Pat, we'd always say, There's a lot of negative things going around as well. Let's spread some positivity. It does not take much to be positive. Guys, how much does it take to be positive? Do some kind. Nothing. A simple compliment.
$3.99.
Thank you very much. A simple compliment goes a long way. And with that being said, we'll catch you on the radio show tomorrow. CJ Lily will be there. Raise a 5-star. This is the Kickback. I'm Gavin. That's Pat. Dom, as always, buddy. And we will see you guys next time in episode 6. Peace.